Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's been a blessing to be here. I think the only thing I turned this on. I was blessed with that song as I was looking over it this morning, especially the next to the last verse. It says, "Secure is life for mortal mind. God holds the germ within His hand. Though men may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand." Life is something that God gives, life is something that God takes, and man has never found a way to preserve life. We all die when God says we're going to die. And I thought that's a beautiful thing. And this morning, I just want to greet you all in the name of Jesus and welcome you all to worship with us this morning. My message, I guess, is sort of a continuation of what we've been talking about. It's a little bit of a different angle about time. I plan to preach out of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3, And especially the thought maybe we would focus on would be that of forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward and pressing toward the mark. Forgetting those things which are behind, it says, and pressing and reaching forth to those things which are before. And Paul says, "I press toward the mark." And we want to talk about some of those things, but I think we'll begin earlier in the chapter, in chapter 3. I think maybe we'll just start in the first verse and read. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." I love that verse. We are the people of God. We are the circumcision, or the family of God, which worships God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. You know, the flesh, we have nothing to glory in. We have nothing to gain by our flesh. And we have nothing to have any confidence in our flesh, but in Jesus Christ. And worshiping Him in the Spirit and rejoicing in Him, we have confidence in our life because of Him. Our confidence is in Him. Our trust is in Him. Our joy is in Him. Our life is in Him. But what we have done, who we are, where we've come from, all this gives us no confidence. But who He is and where we're going, we have confidence. Praise the Lord. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh." Here Paul talks about all the things that he could have benefited his flesh. He was circumcised the eighth day. He was a stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, he's a Pharisee. He was very zealous, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is of the law, he was blameless. But all those things were nothing. He says, "But all those things I counted for loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things at loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I do count them as dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of the sufferings and being made conformable unto His death. Paul had to forsake all those things of his past life, forsaking them and counting them as nothing, that he might win Christ. He had an education. He was an educated man. He had a reputation among the people. He was a man of character, a man that was looked up to among the Jewish people. And this was all against him. He had to forsake all this religious, this spirit of religion that Paul had. He had to renounce those things and forsake those things and go forth in it, following Christ and seeking after Christ so that he might be found in him, not having his own righteousness. We have no righteousness to glory off of ourselves. Nothing that we have done, nothing that we are, is any merit before God. But the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness is of God by faith, is the only thing that we have to glory in this morning. It's the only thing that merits us anything before God. It's that which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is by faith in Him. Praise God that He has made available to us that we who are unrighteous, we who are proud and ungodly, that we can come to Him by faith and we can break our hearts before Him in repentance, and because of His righteousness we can be justified before the Almighty God. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The power that rose Jesus from the dead can dwell within our mortal bodies, that we can experience that same power within us to live victorious over sin, to live our lives to the glory of God, to bring glory to Him, and to bring praise to His name, because that power comes from God, and we can use that power can dwell within us to live our lives for His sake, and for His glory, and for His praise. So we praise God for that this morning, that although we have nothing to glory in, our flesh is no good thing, we have nothing to glory in, yet God has made available to us that which we can live to His glory and to His praise because of His righteousness dwelling within us. And again it says in verse 11, that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You know, that is what we are looking forward to. That time when we can experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can go to be with Him throughout all of eternity. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I might have apprehended that for which I am apprehended by Jesus Christ. That I love, the fact that Jesus, we are apprehended, we have been received by Jesus, and He has taken possession of us, and we are His possession, and we are here that we might follow after, it says that if I may apprehend that for which I have been apprehended, that we might truly experience that which God has intended that we would experience, that we might truly be that vessel that God wants us to be, that we might live that life and be that life of Christ here in the world, that we might be that light and that evidence of Christ here in the world that He wants us to be, that the world might see Jesus and that we might fulfill the calling that He has called us to. I mean, that's what it's That's what Paul was saying, that he might truly experience all of God in his life, so that God's work can be worked through him, and that the power of God can be manifested in his life, and that the work of Jesus here in this world can go on through him. And that's the purpose for each one of us here today, I believe, that we could be vessels that Jesus can use to accomplish his work here on the earth. We're not here to serve ourselves. We're not here to build up an empire here in this time. We're not here to just gain everything we can gain for ourselves. But we are here as vessels to bring glory and praise to God and to give our lives for the service of the one who gave his life for us. Something's wrong. Dad? Is that working? I don't know.
Try your mic. There's a bad connection somewhere.
Not sure where. Looks to me like it might be broke. Looks like it's broke. May just turn it off and turn this one on. That better? Okay. And then in verse 13 it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." And that's one thing we want to talk about this morning. That we might forget those things which are behind. Now, what are the things that are behind that we should forget? Does anyone have any suggestions? What are some of the things that we should forget about our past? Anybody have any suggestions? Our mistakes. Amen.
Sometimes it's good to remember them to help us keep it sharp.
I believe we can learn from them, yeah. But I don't think we should dwell on them and continually feel. Yeah, I think it's good that we need to forget about our sin life. We need to forsake our sin. The life that we lived in the flesh, we need to forsake those things. And we need to turn around and walk the other way. We need to forsake those things and forget those things that are back there. And we need to forget our failures. Like Brother James said, those things, there's a lot of time, a lot of us have had experienced bad times in our past. There have been experiences in our past that we wish it would have never happened. Things that that we're ashamed of. Things that we should have known better. But it happened back there. But we have to forget those things and turn our heart toward Jesus and receive his forgiveness and go on and walk by faith. Our reputation is something that we must forget. You know, many of us have had a religious background, have had a reputation among the religious people that we have to forsake some of those things in order to follow Christ. Maybe we were prominent in a church that was not following after Christ, and our reputation has to be forgotten. We have to turn around and face the truth and follow after Jesus. And even our some things that we have in the past that we have to forget is because if we don't, it makes us proud. Some of our accomplishments are something that we have to let it in the past. If we have accomplished things in the past, that we continually dwell on those things. We dwell on who we are and where we've come from and what we've done. Those things will only destroy us from experiencing God in the future, because none of those things that we've done in the past do we deserve to have any glory for ourselves. We need to forsake our reputation, our heritage, our family and accomplishments, and even our own righteousness. Those things that have been commendable in the past, we cannot dwell on those things. Even our own experiences, we've had good experiences in the past. Some things have happened. Yes, we do have right to give testimony to a new birth and a relationship with God and what God has done for us. But we need to still get past that and go forward. Like Paul said, one place we need to get past the milk stage and reach forward unto the meat stage in our Christian life. We can't constantly be dwelling on things that happened in the past. We need to have a current relationship with the Lord. We need to have a focus on the future, a focus on the things that lie ahead, on the things that are uplifting and that pertain to Jesus Christ. You know, even our good family heritage is something that I know, even for myself, I can look back and see all the blessings, or you can say that it's blessings to have a good Christian heritage, but those things that the people in the past have had really don't benefit me if I don't have a personal relationship myself. I can talk about my father and my mother being good Christians, but that doesn't benefit me a bit if I'm not in touch with God myself. And I have to let those things where they are and turn and face God and go forward in faith, walking with Him. So this morning, I think that's something that hinders many Christians today, is especially failures and downfalls in the past. We need to rise up and walk by faith. We need to rise up with our eyes on Jesus and go forward. We need to forget those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things that are before. And those things that are before, what are the purposes that God has before us? What are the things that we should be reaching forward to? His purposes and His design for our life. I believe God has us here, and He purchased us for Himself, and we are here to be vessels that bring glory and praise and honor unto His name. We are here to walk with Him and to be a witness and a testimony for Him here in this world, that other souls can be influenced by His Spirit dwelling within us and His life flowing through us. These are the things that we need to be reaching out for. We need to be reaching out to experience God every day in our life. We need to have a fresh anointing of God upon our life every morning. Before we go out into the world, we need to know that God is dwelling in us and His anointing is upon our life, so that the things that we do and the people we meet will be influenced not by us but by the power and by the Spirit of God. God wants us to worship Him. He wants us to praise and adore Him. He wants our worship, and it's something that we will be doing throughout all of eternity. And He wants us to be in the mode of worship now, as we worship Him now, and as we continue on worshiping Him, we will step into glory worshiping Him and praising Him. It will be the life of our future. It is the future of our existence, is to be worshiping God. And we want to reach out today and be worshiping Him and bringing glory to Him and honoring Him and loving Him with our life.
And we want to live and reach out and be a part of the reputation that goes with Him. We want to allow His reputation to be our reputation. Jesus had no reputation with men. He had no reputation here on this life. He had no reputation with the religious world. But His reputation was with God. God said, "This is my beloved Son. I am well pleased." Jesus had His reputation with God, and that's where we want to have our reputation, with Jesus, that we might walk with Him, so that one day we will hear that statement, "Well done, thou faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord." We want to reach out to the opportunities that God brings into our life. We're not floating through life without a purpose. And God brings opportunities into our lives. He brings people into our lives every day, many of us. And we have opportunities to minister and to touch lives. And as God brings those opportunities before us, we should be looking for them, be prepared for them, and be reaching out for them to bring to point them to Jesus, that Jesus would be the theme of our life in every opportunity that we have. Another thing I believe that we should be reaching out in the edification and the building up of the church. We are here, God ordained the church, and He ordained the assembly in this way, where people come together and edify one another and minister one to another. And this is something that is going to go on through eternity again. The congregation of the saints, the people of God, they're going to be together in heaven. We're going to, it's the heavenly things that God is calling us to reach out to. And I believe that's the calling for us today, as God has called us to be a part of a body here in this time. It's just a figuration of the body that we're going to be a part of in heaven when the Lamb comes and He receives His bride unto Himself. He's going to receive the church unto Himself, and we are here as the children of God, and we are here as vessels of God to edify the body and to build one another up and to minister to one another in the Spirit of God, in the Spirit of truth, and minister life one to another. I appreciated too the things that were taught last week about ministering life in the church, that we minister life to one another, that we aren't here as tearing each other down and criticizing and tearing each other down, but that we're here to build one another up. We're here to minister life to each other. We're here to minister life to the lost around us. We're here to minister the life of Jesus Christ to the world around us, to magnify His name, to magnify Jesus Christ, and to worship Him and to exalt His magnificence in the world. For He is the one who is in control. He is the one who holds our lives in His hand. He is the one who holds the stars in its place. God is the one who is in control of the times. He is the one who knows exactly when the times will cease. And He is the one who knows the reason for time. And He's the one who knows all things. And He's in control. He is a magnificent God who is beyond our comprehension. We cannot know and understand and attain unto the realities of our great God. And we need to just dwell on Him and to worship Him and cast our crowns before Him and glorify Him and honor Him for all that He has and all that He is. God is our God. He is a God of power. God's power and God's righteousness. We need to be reaching out and laying hold of those things, We need to reach out to the power of God. You know, God has promised us many promises in His Word. And He has promised power to the church of God. He's given us power to witness. He's given us power for healing. He's given us power for the conversion of souls. He's given power to the church of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down in power and many souls were saved. And that power today is something that every one of us should be reaching out for to take hold of the power of God in our lives. It seems like in the church today, there's almost a fear of the power of God that we're getting a hold of something that's dangerous. But the power of God is an awesome power. And I know that there is a false power as well. And we do need to be careful that we don't lay hold of something that is false. But the power of the true power of God is something that is available to us today. It is something that the church needs. It is something that God wants us to have. And we need to reach out and get a hold of it. These are the things that we need to be reaching out for. Reach forth unto those things which are before, which is the God's ordained righteousness, His holiness, those things which are that come from God. Those are the things that will last forever. Those are the things that are before. Those are the things that are ahead of us. Those are the things that we're going to be forever and ever and ever. And this should be our hearts to be reaching forth in those things that pertain to God. The righteousness of faith. The righteousness which comes by faith is something that we experience by faith. And by faith, we claim the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We do not dwell on the things that we have accomplished. We don't look at how good we're doing and how well we're performing, but we look at what Jesus has done for us and the provision that He has made for us, that we are right in the sight of God. We are justified by faith. We are free from sin, and we are made right and pure and ready to meet the Lord. Thank God for that. If we had to face God on the accomplishments which we have accomplished and those things that we have done, we would be by all men most miserable. But the righteousness which is by faith in Jesus Christ, we claim by faith. We reach out and we reach out to those things and claim those things. His promises, God's promises are awesome. When you go through the Word of God and you look at the promises of God, He promises to provide all our needs. He promises to care for us, just like He cares for the birds and He cares He knows about all the things in the creation. And even so, He knows about us and He knows about all of our needs. He knows about everything everything we need even before we ask Him. God cares about every one of us. And we can rest in that care. We can rest in that provision. That's something that we need to be reaching out for. That we need to just rest in the provision that God has made. We need to put our faith and trust in Him and rest in that provision. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the future. But rest in Him. And by faith, walk with Him. And have our focus on Him. And go forth in the name of Jesus, experiencing His power and His blessings upon our life. Answered prayer. God has promised incredible promises to answer our prayers. And the biggest problem, I think, is that we're scared to pray. I think if God would answer your prayers, Would you notice it? We need to pray prayers, specific prayers. Pray prayers that God will move, that God will answer, that God, I believe God is a God that answers prayer. And He wants to answer prayer. He does answer prayer. And I believe the problem is that too many times we pray a faithless prayer. But I believe we need, if we have that walk with God, where we walk by faith in God and we dwell in Him and we have His presence and His righteousness and His Spirit and His power dwelling within us. And when we pray, we know that God will move. We know that God will answer. He has answers in many ways. Sometimes He doesn't answer in the way that we think it should. He doesn't always answer the way we would like it to. But God moves miraculously in our midst whenever we pray. God's people pray. God moves. And it's been proven many times throughout the history of the church and throughout, we would have many examples of how when Christians prayed and how God moved. And I believe we have evidence of that right here in our church. What God has been doing in our midst in the last while is evidence of answered prayer. And I believe that God's going to continue to work and God's going to continue to answer prayers as we continue to get serious with Him, as we make Him first and foremost in our life, as we have His business as our business, as His kingdom is our kingdom, and as we are a servant in His kingdom, that we are our, that He is our leader, He is our king, He is the one who is going before us, and we follow Him in His foot tracks. We follow His examples. We follow His teachings. We follow His Spirit in leading us through life, one step at a time along the way, that we can experience all things of God. I want to read on. Here it says, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what is your mark? What is your goal? I press toward the goal. Did you think about what is the goal that you are pressing toward? I laid awake a long time last night trying to answer that for myself. What's the goal that we're pressing toward? Is it to have a nice church where everybody looks good? What is your goal? It could be a lot of things. What is the goal that you're pressing toward? Anyone have a suggestion? Colin. Okay. To be found in Him. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I think that's a lot of it, to be found in Him and to have a purpose to be all that He wants us to be. To fulfill the calling that He calls us to be. The goal, the final goal, I believe, will be to be with Him in heaven, to experience the realities of His physical presence. To be in His very presence one day, when the glory of God, the very glory of God, can be upon us in reality, that we can live in heaven throughout all eternity. And I believe that we can be in that same presence today, where we are just living in His presence and continually experiencing His reality in our lives, So that whenever the time comes to go from this life, that we can just continue on right where we are. Shed this old body and just continue right on, dwelling with Him and worshiping Him and being all that He wants us to be. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 20, it says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." Our conversation, our walk of life, everything about us, our goal is in heaven. Our life is in heaven. So that when the Lord Jesus Himself shall come, that He shall change our bodies so that we can have a glorious body and that we can be like Him forever. And He will bring all things under His dominion. That's the goal that I'm looking forward to. That we can be like Him in His glory. That we can be with Him in His glory. To be in His very presence. Nothing I look forward to more than to dwell in the presence of Jesus Christ. Experiencing His glory and to be released from these dying bodies and to have a body that is glorified, a body that is free from aches and pains and suffering, and that we can be free in Him throughout all of eternity. I think of the Esch family, how that they must be up there in heaven today, rejoicing and singing together. That's my goal. That's my hope. I was blessed on one of the videos when Leroy Kaufman was talking on the news. He said, "We're not afraid to die." He's on our testimony this morning. Are you able to say that you're not afraid to die? You could say that's my testimony and that's my anticipation, that we can go to be with the Lord, to be with Him throughout all of eternity. This, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Father, we love You, we bless You, and we look forward with anticipation to that time that we can be in glory with You. And I pray, Father, for everyone in this building, that that would be the goal that we are pressing forward to. We are looking forward with anticipation to being all that You want us to be, O God. Lord, just touch every heart here today and draw us closer to You, that we might forsake those things in the past, those mistakes, those embarrassing things, whatever it might be, and we might just pour our lives into serving You, that Jesus may be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.